Hello, I'm Don Davis, and I want to welcome you to church today.
If this is your first time here, we're glad you're with us.
We want you to know that we love the Super Bowl.
We really do.
But we also want you to know that we love Jesus, that we're completely sold out to Him.
Today is going to be a special day in the life of this church, and we're so glad that you're a part of it.
The leaders have been praying for this day.
So it's game on.
Let's get going.
Let's get going. Welcome to Football Sunday.
All right. Well, welcome to Haven. Are you guys feeling okay today? Yeah? You guys ready for the big game? You know, this is a big holy day, right? You know, but it's funny because I always grew up making fun of football players for, you know, doing that and thinking that God picked the team. I don't think He does. I think He just picks our heart. You know, so if you have a great heart for God and you believe in Him, He'll give you strength to do your best in that game. So we're going to stand up and do a song called In You. This song is was written by a guy named Michael John Stanley, who's played drums for us. And this song is all about falling at God's feet, you know, and finding that strength and forgiveness in Him.
At your feet,
at your feet,
I find peace,
I find peace.
Come on, Echo.
I rise up,
I rise up,
in the shelter of you,
in the shelter.
Come on, let me hear it now.
You.
At your feet,
at your feet. I find peace,
I find peace.
I rise up,
I rise up.
In the shelter of you,
in the shelter of you.
Hold me now, don't let go. I need to know that it's okay. You're my rock, you're my strength, I find refuge in you.
Yeah.
Hold me now,
don't let go.
Need to know that it's okay. You're my rock,
you're my rock. You're my strength.
I find refuge in you,
in you. Are you know, let's sing it now.
At your feet,
at your feet,
I find peace. Shelter of you,
in the shelter of you.
Hold me now,
don't let go.
I need to know that it's okay.
You're my rock,
you're my strength.
My strength.
I find refuge in you.
Anybody feel tired today? Yeah. There's some good news in that, you know? Good news is that the Lord will give you strength.
Everlasting, you are God. Praise the Lord. Lord God, we just thank you that we're here today, that everything else in life that may be challenging, we've heard that it's in you that we find our strength, and that here you are the everlasting God. You do not wear out, and we give you praise for who you are. And all God's children said, amen. I know Joe Cox wanted to meet with some of the kids, the 10th, 10 and up, about Chrysalis, which is Walk to Emmaus. It's a retreat weekend, so he's going to meet them out here. Everybody else, what I want you to do is just stand and greet those people around you. Tell them Happy Sunday, Super Sunday, Some Sunday, Chocolate Sunday. Always good to get together and connect with those brothers and sisters in Christ. So good. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. Again, we don't believe you're here by mistake. We believe God has something awesome planned for you, and hopefully you received the card. If not, just go out here. We'll get you one. We have a small gift. Just thank you for being here. Today after church, we will have our Haven 101, where you can find out about Haven. It's our first process to become members, and some people have taken that and just like to find out information. Others follow through and become members, whether you transfer your membership from a church or whether you've never joined a church or you want to. It's a great opportunity to go ahead and connect and find out about why our church exists and why we continue. You can see the information about the men's group. And I also want you to take time to look at the Stephen Ministry prayer power for Stephen Ministry. We have many of our Stephen ministers come up and pray, that are available to pray with you and for you after at our time of our altar calls to and prayer time at the end of the message. And so we ask you to, you know, if you want to do that, it's great to have people that are there with you in this process, and they have something that's written there. Vacation Bible School meeting next Sunday, so we're going to have Vacation Bible School. You can take a look at that information there. Valentine movie night, Fireproof. Anything else we need to talk about, Marsha, or are we good? Okay. Kate's going to be out here, right, out here with tickets if you want to go ahead. And just to let people know how many are here, it'll be an awesome time to get together. Please check the other things, Dining for Women, Hope Ministry Meeting, Emergency Packets. Anything else we need to add to that or still have that rolling along? Through February, so we want to continue that. I believe you can still sign up for Rotating Shelter. It's correct. That'll be February, beginning of the week of the February 23rd, and we always need help and connection for that as well. And that's what the other sheet is in here. Fred has an announcement before I knock over his computer.
Yeah. All right. Do me a favor. Everybody in here that owns a hoodie, please raise their hand.
Hoodie sweatshirt.
Okay. I have a dear friend of mine that collects hoodies for underprivileged kids in the area because not everybody likes to wear, you know, kids are very particular about the type of jackets they wear, and they'd rather freeze themselves to death than wear an uncool jacket. But every kid will wear a hoodie. So for those that can't afford it, this woman has started collecting hoodies for those. So if you could, next Sunday, because the 10th is when they give them out, and unfortunately I kind of dropped the ball and forgot about trying to collect these, and she graciously reminded me yesterday. So if you all could, please dig down deep in your hearts and bring in any unwanted hoodie next Sunday for me. So that I can get them to these kids, I'd really appreciate it. Any size would be good, you know, small, medium, large, extra large, 2X. Bring it in. Thank you very much.
All right, great. Good. All right, I also know Rachel is sending around the clipboard for nursery. If you want to feel young, how many said, I wish I was younger? Okay, if you really want to feel younger, sign up for nursery. It'll be a great time to help out. and they have a good time in there. And thank you for those who have served. But if as in everything, if everybody's willing or a few are willing, then that allows everybody to be part of the ministry of the church. Okay? We have some prayers we want to lift up here today. From Abby and Ron Mears, Samantha Ball, a 22-year-old single mom, has a mass on one of her lungs that has shut down the lung. So pray for her family. And for Ron Mears Sr. is starting dialysis, so we want to pray for him. The Wednesday morning Bible study has asked for prayers for Carol Henson's granddaughter, Reese, who has had a lot of physical issues lately, and many of you who have seen on the prayer chain or also through Facebook has an opportunity to share that as well. Robin Hildebrand asked for prayers for Don Smith, that testing will go well for a lung transplant, that he will receive complete healing, and wife Debbie will receive strength during that time. Joanne Cohen, I know her a little bit, she's my mom. For mom and dad, they both have doctor's visits tomorrow, mom at Fox Chase, and my dad has gone back to the doctor. He's had some challenges with his knee lately, so we want to lift them up prayer. And for Bryce Morris, who's a friend of our family's, pneumonia and COPD, and he's in the hospital again. Laura asked for a prayer. Where's Laura? I saw you back there. Laura will be having surgery on Monday morning. They're going to lift her eye and up and over, so please pray for her that everything goes well with that procedure. And Trudy, for the Gallium family, a 24-year-old son overdosed, and so we want to pray for them and pray for her knee and for her husband and son. Anyone else? Okay. Chris, what was your cousin's husband's name? Steve Holbrook. We want to pray for him. He's had some cancer with throat and other kinds of things, and just be praying for him with the change in life and also that everything, that healing's brought there as well. Okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer if we can right now. Gracious God, we come before you, and even though we come together and we sing that that in you we find our strength and that you're the everlasting God, you don't go weary. But God, we do at times. And it seems like so many more times we grow even wearier in life and have struggles and concerns and issues. And through that, God, we struggle to find out exactly where you are in the midst of this. But God, help us lean on that strength. Like each of these songs talk about your strength, but each of them also says that we find that strength when we're at your feet, when we're praying, when we're focused on you, when we recognize that you will lift us up and nothing else. And so, God, for all these people who are having surgery, who have maybe had surgery and are going through the post-healing process, for those who are experiencing overdoses and struggles, for those who experience loss and all kinds of other things, God, we just want to stop right now and just give you praise for who you are and ask that you'll just be with us and strengthen us. Give us courage to face those areas where we're uncertain. Give us clarity where we have doubt. Those years that we look back and Satan wants to remind us of who we were and try to convince us of who we are, let us just remind him that who our daddy is. That, God, you don't shut us away, but you love us and you want to restore us. So during the rest of this time, will you do that? Giving your blessing upon us. God, you've given us so many blessings that we can't even begin to open our eyes and open our minds to fathom just everything that you've given us. And so, God, just right now, we just take this time to give you thanks, to say, God, I thank you verbally, but also as an act of our giving through your tithe and our offerings. God, the needs are so many. We can't begin to scratch the surface, but with you, all things are possible. So whether we're giving here, whether we're giving an online church today, we just pray that, God, your Holy Spirit will just multiply and use these gifts to meet the needs here and around the kingdom of the world. God, there's so many people that are shattered, but only you can bring stability and keep us from being shaken. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Everything that can be will be shaken. Everything that can be will be shaken, and only you remain.
only a spotless lamb for a sinner's soul. Everything is said and done and swept away. I want to be by your side in eternity. Those you who love, you will chase in. Everything that can be will be shaken.
Run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Thank you.
All right. Good morning. How are we doing? Everybody good? Good to be here today? Everybody happy? Are you happy? Okay. All right. I don't really care if you're happy. I just hope you have joy. Is that right? Because a lot of times we don't have happiness, but we have joy in the Lord, right? I want to do something, even though Randy did an awesome job of reading. I want to read it again, and I want us to get on up. We're going to pretend we're at the Super Bowl, and today we're gonna have some Super Bowl of God. I want to read this again, and I want you to stand up with me, okay? Can you do that? If you're able, that's right. Okay, so join with me here in this verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and so easily entangles. Here we go. I want to read this all together. Are you ready? Ready for this? Verse 2. Here we go. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't it good? It might be a little bit different. We're good. Isn't it good, though, that, you know, one of the things that I didn't recognize and as I was going through this week is that what's Jesus doing? He's doing the opposite of what you're doing right now. What's he doing? He's sitting down. You know, he's not pacing around heaven, not worried about what's going on like we do down here. He's got it all in control. He's kicking back with a remote. And this last verse, here we go. This last section here, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. All right, have a seat. Let's give God a clap today. Let's go ahead. Come on, pretend you're at the Super Bowl. Let's go. Yeah. All right. All right, you're awake now. That's good. Okay. Today's message, I am not going to sing a Taylor Swift song. I promise. Shake it off, shake it off. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the video that the guy from Dover, the police officer from Dover did. You saw that. Anybody see that? Okay. He was having fun. And the praise team is very glad that I didn't have them come up with Shake It Off song, but it was really kind of interesting. We're going to talk about shaking some things off. We're going to talk about how so many times in life, this whole series is going to be about how many times in life people just stop. You just stop. What are those things that just cause us to stop in life? You may be headed in a direction and you just stop. And has anybody ever known someone who just gets weary? Or you may be someone who gets weary just trying to do something and you end up quitting. Has anybody ever been that way? Or anybody know anybody? We can say you know somebody. So, you know, like, I believe that there may be some people here who are ready to throw in the towel. It may be on a career, you're going to throw in the towel. It may be on a relationship. It may be on a friend. It may be on your kids. It may be that your kids are about ready to throw in the towel because they just have had enough in life. You're about ready to throw in the towel on them because they're annoying and disrespectful. And maybe some of the kids are about ready to throw in the towel on parents because they're annoying and disrespectful as well. And so, Chris enjoyed that one. But whatever it is, I want you to keep going. Somebody may be ready to throw in the towel on your marriage. And I believe that God, through this series, has something for you to say, nope, keep on enduring. Somebody may be ready to throw it in on prayer. You've been praying for something a long time. You've been praying and praying and praying, and you're not getting the answers that you want, and so you're about ready to give up. So I hope through this will help you continue to keep on praying. And somebody may be just ready to give up on life itself. And you may say, I've had enough of living. I just want to throw in the towel. Enough of this. So I want you to go ahead and just continue with that. So today, I just want to open with a prayer, just really to refocus on God, who is our strength. Join with me in prayer. Lord God, again, we come to you today, and we seek your direction for our lives. There are so many things that bog us down, that weigh us down, that tie us up, that keep us from going where you want. And a lot of times, God, we just stop rather than to continue on the path that you have for us. So during this time together here today and throughout this series, God, give us such direction that we can enjoy your presence and know that this is an amazing way to walk and to continue in your path, and give us that strength that we need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 12 is such an amazing chapter. I mean, there's a lot of really good chapters. I think every week I stand up here and preach, I say, this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. Have I done that once or twice? Okay, well, this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. I might as well keep consistent. I don't think I've ever said I hate this verse of Scripture. I might have. It probably has to do with something that I'm struggling with. Somebody once said, if you want to hear what the pastor's struggling with, see what they're preaching about. You guys don't do that because I already know that. But it's got so much in it. It's got a lot with it theologically. It's got a lot with it relationally. Doctrinally, it's packed in this section of Scripture. And it really is a chapter that I believe all Christians should know. And when I work on the preaching calendar, I do a number of different things. I try to think what would be kind of interesting to connect people, and also what would be something that really connects us. And in thinking about this, I had seen several things about a preaching calendar and a preaching seminar. And when I did that, I decided to go ahead and say, you know, one of the things I really want to do, if not once, maybe twice a year, is pick one chapter of Scripture and really do a series on it so that we can really get in and dig into the Word of God and really have a love for the love of Scripture. I think that's one thing that even Christians who attend church really have lost in many ways, just a desire and a love for the Word of God. I remember when we were in Israel, we had a guy named Naftali Cohen. I called him Cousin Naftali. And Naftali was sharing how when he as a young boy, he took us to where Gideon Spring was, and we're sitting there, and we were connecting because it was just a really cool thing that this is a spring that Gideon had the people lapping from and all this other kind of stuff. And while we were there, he said, as a kid, I just loved Scripture. I would go to bed. I'd fall asleep tonight just reading the Scriptures. And I just want to go ahead and rekindle some of that love for us in the next few weeks. And so we want to really get into God's Word this week. And in thinking about this, I started thinking about how when I graduated high school, that I had music that I liked, but it was when I went to college that my music really expanded. And I began to add things to my life, like Boston. Okay, right? One of the coolest albums of all time. Now, there was other ones like, and I guess the other one was Bob Marley. All right, we're jamming. You know, and we won't get into No Woman, No Cry. We'll just leave that alone. There was Garth Brooks, one of his first albums. I think everywhere I went, I got friends in low places, right? We had Garth. And then there was a couple other ones that really I recognized things that I liked that influenced all of the music industry. One of those was back when I was in middle school, I believe, a guy named Michael Jackson came out with the album Thriller. Now, how many of you couldn't wait to see that video? Remember like the half an hour video production of and you probably do the dance, right, okay, all this stuff. But that album changed music history because it was one of the first ones that had hit after hit after hit on an album. For those of you kids who don't know what an album is, it's like an MP3 that's in a circle, okay? If you go to Goodwill, you'll see plenty of them, just to let you know. And so that changed everything. The video, the music, everything came together in a way it never had. And then there was one when I was in college that changed music history. And it's been 20 plus years now, a group called Nirvana, the album Nevermind. And it changed all of music. It went from the hair bands of the 80s with a screaming voice to the doom 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 doom, right? Anyway, you guys can hear that. And so Nirvana changed it. But probably one of the biggest albums that really jolted me was a greatest hits album. And it was this group right here. Go ahead. Journey. Journey's greatest hits. One of the best albums ever. Am I right? Good compilation. And so for what I wanted to share with you is in music ability, if chapter 12 of Hebrews is Journey's greatest hits, verses 1 through 3 are the Don't Stop Believing. You got me? And so that's what I really want you to connect to and recognize just how awesome these verses are. If you can't preach after these three verses, then you need to get another job, because these contain some of the most awesome words ever penned in Scripture. As we start off and we see, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and easily entangles us. How awesome is that? So what I want to do today is I want to share four reasons primarily why people stop in a direction in their life, why they just stop. And this applies to every area, not just your faith in life. Could apply to career, could apply to schooling, could apply to a lot of things. And I want to go ahead and just really focus in on why we stop. You know, because there's times, and there's a lot of times where we don't feel like doing something. Am I right? How many have something that you don't feel like doing? Yeah, I got to be honest. There are times where I don't feel like preaching. That bed is nice and warm. I am exhausted, and I want to just roll over and sleep. Now, that may shock you, but when I get here, I'm ready to roll. But it's like that early part. There's things in your life you just don't feel like doing. But when you keep going, God has an awesome blessing for you. Like tomorrow, when that snow and rain or whatever the heck we're going to get, who knows? Because after that big blizzard we had this week, right? I'm telling you, the milk and bread prices are dropping, and they get together with the weather people, and it goes up. Here we go. But in looking at this, I just think that there are times when we press through that God has something awesome in store for us. Amen. And so, good, I'm glad somebody's awake today. That's awesome. I want to hear that. And Ray, you're here. Good to see Ray there. All right. So in this section of Scripture, what we do know is that we aren't sure who the author of Hebrews is. Some people believe it's Paul. So you'll hear me during the series occasionally saying Paul says, because he wrote so much of the New Testament, I'll attribute it to him. But most scholars believe it's not him. Some have said Apollos. Some have said Barnabas. Some have said a whole bunch of different stuff. We're not quite sure. But he is addressing Jewish believers and is very knowledgeable about the Jewish faith. And these Jewish believers are going through struggles or persecution, where their struggles are not just like, oh, you believe in Jesus? I don't like you. No, they're actually being told to stop believing because they're putting them out of the synagogue, which was the cultural area in their faith. They were kicking them out of their homes, and they were treating them harshly, even beating them. And so they're telling them, stop talking and stop believing about Jesus. And so many at this point were at a point where they were saying, if I just stop believing in Jesus, I'll live a very comfortable life. And I think for many of us in life, we go ahead and we get to a point where something gets difficult, and so stopping makes it easier for us to live comfortably. And so what we want to look here is we know that this person understood Judaism, and they spoke from a very intelligent, knowledgeable point of view. And the other thing that we know is this person loved and owned a coffee house. He brews. Get it? All right. Pretty bad, huh? All right, thank you. Thank you for your pity and whatever else. Okay. You can share that with somebody else today. You'll say, I got to tell you, it's Hebrews. And you'll be like, they'll look at you like you guys just looked at me. But the whole book is about enduring in your faith. And how we stop instead of enduring at times. So why do people do that? So I want you to write these things down. These things are good. They're really good, and I think we need to know them. And somebody may say, you know what? I'm good, Jack. My life's going well. My marriage is awesome. My job is awesome. Everything about my life is awesome. I just saw the Lego movie, and I just want to sing Everything is Awesome. Those who have kids. And you say, I'm in a great spot, but by Wednesday you may need this if your life gets like mine. By Wednesday something may happen and you may go ahead and need this. This week we had a sick kid. We had Emmigail going through some tests. We had another one who had to go to the doctor because she was hurting. And so Melissa was very, very busy running around the world checking those things out. So by the middle of this week, I really needed this verse of Scripture. So here we go. Four reasons why people stop. And number one, go ahead and look at this, write this down. Our first verse from Scripture, I'm going to say it again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The first reason why people tend to stop rather than endure is because we lose our frame of reference. We lose the point of view that we're in. We lose our frame of reference. You can write that down as the first thing. Now, anytime you see hence, moreover, therefore, that is connecting two things. Correct? Shake your head yes. Yeah, it's correcting two things. So what do we have to do? We have to go back and look what it's connecting. So if you have your Bibles or you can look up at the screen, it is connecting chapter 11 with chapter 12. Chapter 11 has a nickname. It's known as the Hall of Faith. Through this scripture, you have the writer of Hebrews who is going ahead and putting one after the other, talking about Abraham, talking about Isaac, talking about Jacob. He spends a lot of time with Abraham. He talks about Moses. He talks about Rahab. You know, if you think that you've gone so far away from God that God can't use you, just look at Rahab. Rahab had the oldest profession in the world. She was a prostitute. And God used her through the lineage to bring, and puts her here as having someone who had intense faith in this nature. So don't give up on anybody. Take a look at Moses. We all put Moses up and we have him as Charlton Heston. Let my people go, right? And we have it like that. Or you may think the Mel Brooks version, the 10 commandments, whatever you may say. We look at Moses in this high level. Do you know Moses was a murderer? You know that Moses was a murderer. You know Abraham, who we look back at, Father Abraham, this great man who walked with God. Do you realize that he was a liar constantly? You know, it goes on and talks about Samson. Do you know Samson was a womanizer? And he had major issues in that area. And Gideon was a coward. And God raised him up. So whatever you're at, and I always talked about Rahab. So if you're anywhere in there, you're in good company. God can still use you. And I just believe that's for somebody. Don't give up on anybody. Don't give up on yourself and don't give up on anybody. But if we go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 through 34, look what it says here. It says, and what more shall I say? He was talking about everybody here. And he said, what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, who quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. In other words, he goes through this list and says, I don't have time to tell you about all these people that God has used. That's in here. And you know, when I read this verse from after the therefore, where it says we're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, it's a great day to do this. Because I always think about my life's here, and it's like I'm in the middle of the Super Bowl stadium. It's packed out, and you hear the crowd. And when Jack does something for God, they go, way to go, Jack! Abraham's starting him to do the wave. Whoa, Jack! Whoa, Jack! Samson's up in the nosebleeds because he had that woman issue. You know, David's kind of somewhere in between. And yeah, great sermon. Woo, God, way to go, Jack! Yeah! Anybody ever think that? Am I the only one who's demented? I almost said whack. So, but I think of that. You know, I figure some have the better seats, you know, like Peter's hanging out at the 50-yard line, Paul's there. You know, they got the box seats with, like, the free food. Oh, yeah. Come on, you guys don't think about this? Oh, yeah. See, if you were in Scripture as much, you would think that way. So, but I love it. I like to think that they're like, go, Jack, go. And when I'm doing the bad stuff, I figure that it's halftime. They're not there in the seats. So, but, you know, as I looked at this, you know, I know I've read this a couple times, but since we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, what I begin to look at is they're not there witnesses of my life, but as if I look at the therefore before, they're witnesses to my life. And you say, what's that mean? Because they're telling me that David went through this. They're telling me Moses went through this. They're telling me Rahab went through this. And then he's saying, and therefore, you can do it too. Anybody like that? You like that? All right, good. Because if David messed up and God used him in a powerful way, he can use you too. So the witness is going, hang in there, Jack. Yeah, it's more about my mess ups than my, way to go, Jack. It's about hang in there because God will bring you through it. All right? And that's the therefore that I need to recognize it's therefore. That these witnesses are not looking to my life, but they are encouraging my walk with the Lord. When I look at that motley crew that Jesus hung out with him, that gives me great strength to recognize that he calls me. They were a mess. And when I'm honest, so am I. Since they did it, I can too. You know, when we lose our frame of reference, it's interesting. You know, at times in my life, I will say my kids get on my nerves. Anybody a parent here? Jill was the one who got on my parents' nerves. I was the angel. Right? No, they're like you're lying in church. We'll talk to you about that afterwards. But there's times where they just won't shut up. Am I the only one that has kids like this? You're there and they're just noise. And I understand they get that from me. I know that's a shock. I'll let that settle in. But it's just noise. And I'm like, as a good parent, I say, would you shut up? You're making nonsensical noise. And my frame of reference is, what is wrong with these kids? Can I get 5 minutes peace? No, you're right. No, you can't. But then, if I have a call and I go to AI DuPont, with me? I go to AI DuPont and I see kids struggling for their lives. When I get home, I want my kids to make as much noise and jump around as much as they can. And thank God that they can. You know? I remember going and visiting somebody one time. His child was at AI DuPont. And they liked the Eagles and they had an Eagles jersey on and this kid ended up dying. And I come home and I see my son wearing an Eagles jersey. It put a frame of reference there for me. That I'm like, I'll tolerate your mess. Just keep on going. You know, we lose our frame of reference, and a lot of times we stop because when we lose that frame of reference, we don't fully see what's in front of us. You know, sometimes I need to just stop, just pause for a second to get going. And sometimes I may need to remind myself of a sermon I did a couple weeks ago. Or maybe I just need to pull up something else and just have it speak to me and recognize that not that the sermon that I worked on, I'm just done with into the next place. But sometimes I need to reconnect and say, yeah, my life isn't how I want it to be, but it's better than it should be by the grace of God. But he picks up again in Hebrews 11. So there are witnesses of, I can make it. But the other thing he picks up, and I found this interesting in verse 35 through 38. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. What he's saying is here, he said, I don't have time to mention David and Barak and all these other ones, but let me tell you, there's others. There's others that we will never know about, that never gave up. No matter what their circumstances was, they made it. And this verse continues and says, but God had something greater for them. If you are successful, don't just take it to yourself and say, I did it. Give God credit for it. If you're struggling, tell God, I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to make it through it through you. Because everything rests in you, Lord God. We need to keep our perspective. I complain a lot in life. Anybody else complain? And when you complain, just stop and get perspective once again and recognize it could be so much worse. All right, so that's one reason why we stop. Next reason is you get weighed down or tangled up. This verse of scripture says this, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. To get tangled up. One of the verses of scripture in the New Living Translation says, let us strip off everything. I know you guys are really glad I didn't use that today and start stripping off, but he uses an illustration of running here. And those of you know that I don't like it, but I run. I have to run, elliptical, whatever. I'm over 1,500 miles in the last couple of years. I like the kilometers better, 2,500 kilometers this week. You know, I'm like, ooh, look at that. You just And I just put the 2,500, leave the miles off, kilometers. But I hate running. I just have to do it for what I want to do. So running is not a good illustration for me because I don't like it that much. But sometimes I got to admit, it does help clear my mind out just to get away and do it. But what I wanted to do is to talk about when I was in high school, I wrestled. And in wrestling, she's saying that because she thought I was going to have a singlet on today, right? So I spared you all that. I spared you all the singlet. Be glad. I said, no singlet. That was the worst thing about wrestling. But in wrestling, one of the things that I had to do once or twice, but most of the time I wrestled up or right around my weight, was cutting weight. Now, they have all kinds of regulations now about cutting weight that you have doctors look at you and tell you how much. But back in the day, when you wrestled, if you could cut it, you could wrestle with it. I remember one person sleeping at night with no covers on and just trying to get any kind of water weight out, and then they'd gorge, and then they'd go wrestle, and then they'd get sick, and you know, this kind of thing. But I started thinking about this, and cutting weight was the most difficult thing for people to do in order to go ahead and do that. Now, I've never run a marathon, but I see how people really have to train hard for marathons. It consumes your whole entire life. And so what I started looking at here, I started thinking about sin that entangles us. And, you know, I looked at this as sin entangling us, keeping us kind of tied up, keeping us kind of where we are. But then I began to look at something else here. Let's look at what that scripture says again. It says, let us throw off anything that hinders us, the sin that entangles or ties us up. But it also said, let us throw off anything that hinders. And what I always thought here was, this is a verse about get rid of my sin. Get rid of my sin. And it is, but there's something else that's here. It says, and the weights, some of them say the weight of anything that weighs you down. So what this is telling me is that there's some things in my life that aren't sinful, but are just weighing me down from where God wants me. With me? Okay, so here's what I want to do. I need a volunteer to help me, okay? Who's here? Come on up, Justin. You can help me. All right. I'm going to put on my backpack. Now, I got a backpack, and it's here for Justin. He's coming up here helping me. All right. All right, so Justin, what I want you to do is, let me put this on too. All right. I've got some stuff in my life here that is just, it's not bad, but it's just kind of got me here, right? It's just kind of got me. And I can carry it. I got it. I'm good. I can do this. But Justin, do you mind grabbing a weight? You can grab the big one if you want at the bottom there. All right. So, you know, occasionally I get some other stuff in my life that I think I got figured out. You can just put that back here if you can. And so now it's a little bit more, right? So I carry that for a while. Can you grab a couple other of those? All right. And let's see, let me just ignore that back there. Go ahead and shove some of them in here. All right. Okay. Go ahead, and it keeps on going some more. Go ahead. All right. Go ahead, give me more. So I'm going through life like this. I can make it today. I can make it. I can make it. All right. Let's try in the front here. All right. So all right, so and that's what I do in life. I just move them around a little bit, don't I? I move stuff around. Here we go. I move it around a little bit. There we go. And that's another thing. That's another sermon that can influence others, too, as they're dealing with stuff. So, okay, so here I am. And these aren't sins. They're not bad things. But I'm carrying them around with me. Anybody feel like your life's kind of like this at times? That you're just carrying around stuff with you? I got it. No, I'm good. Hey, how are you? I'm good. I'm good. And I can do this all the time. Now, keep in mind, this is not the sin, but if I went ahead and had my hands tied and my feet tied, then I'm very unstable. So the sins really have me, but the other stuff in my life God wants to remove because he's saying it's weighing you down. Now, I can keep moving, but eventually I'm going to be collapse under the weight of this. Because carrying around stuff that's in the way of what God wants me to do, he wants to set me free to be where he wants me to be, not continue through life like this. Right, Justin? Okay, so some of you may not have, you know, one of the big sins that we talk about. Give me a big sin. Greed. What are the seven deadly sins? What are they? Murder. Okay, you may not have murdered somebody. We all know that's not a good thing to do, right? Christians shouldn't murder people, right? I'm not going to murder anybody. But you may have a weight of anxiety in your life that you're carrying around. You may have a weight of unforgiveness in your life. You may have frustration that is every day. You know, it's not really sinful for some of these things to be anxious, but it weighs you down and keeps you from being where God wants you to be. Now, what does the scripture say? Let us what? What does the scripture say? Therefore, let us what? Throw it off. And be free in God. So why carry it around? Thank you, Justin. Yep. All right, buddy. Let's hear it for Justin helping us out. No working out today. Here we go. Sin entangles, but the other stuff weighs us down. It's got to go if we want the will of God displayed in our lives. You know, I kind of look at it as like we have these things in our lives, and it's like a baby who has a binky. They like that. I like it. But guess what? There's a problem if my son is graduating high school and has a binky in a senior picture. That's a problem. Bigger problem for his dating life, I'd say. We got to remove those things that weigh us down. We have to cut weight. Look at the person next to you and say, cut weight. Unless it's your wife next to you. Don't do that. I just said what the preacher said. No, okay? No, don't. Don't. I'm just saving you a couple weeks. Yeah, okay. All right. Number three, you lose your vision and your focus. Now he gets this point. In verse 2, he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. This is the only place you will see these two, and anywhere that you'll see these two put together. What does it mean to be the author? That means the direct translated from Greek, the chief leader, the captain, the prince, the author. An author does what? Writes, creates something. He is known as the author of life. He was there from the beginning, by the foundations of the world, from me being created and knit together. He was there. So he knows me. I am his book. And he is the perfecter. That other word is translated the completer, the finisher, the consummator. In other words, one translation has that God is our developer. And when you think about a place of land, that you have a developer that takes a place of land that's just land, and what do? They move the earth around and they change it until they build something that is of value. And so what you need to know is God is the developer. He is the one that put you together. He is the author that wrote you together, and he is going to complete you as well if you don't stop. Jesus always follows through. He completes his work. I was an undergraduate major in journalism and English minor. And in that, one of the fields that I had classes in was called news editorial. And so what would happen is you'd write a lot of stuff. And for graduation, we had to have like 1,000 column inches or something like that. So I wrote a lot of things. And then you would have an editor that went back through with red and made all these kind of marks to change them. And after a while, it got annoying because they would put things that they wanted in there, and I was like, isn't this my article? And they'd say, no, it's ours, because what you put there is a reflection of what I let through. And I know what I want as the editor so that the paper is better. And by doing those things, I started to think about This is how Jesus is. Jesus, I say, isn't it my life? And he says, but I'm your author. And I'm going to perfect you, and I'm going to have the biggest masterpiece I ever can in you. And that's what I desire. Because the scripture says in our verse that we start, that's at the very beginning, that in Philippians chapter 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to what? Completion. Completion. God didn't begin you to have you stop. He began you to have you completed and be perfect in his will. And then I look at this verse, that at times we quit before we get moving if we lose our focus. Look at this verse again. Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I always wondered, what was the joy set before him? What is the joy that is set before Jesus? There's two things. Doing the will and glory of his Father and your salvation. Those two things. Doing the will of his Father and living in his glory and giving him majesty by giving you your salvation. That is the joy that Jesus had. The cross was not a lovely place, but because he was doing the will of his Father and reconnecting you to him through your salvation, it was his joy. So you could actually say to somebody, and you're going to say it right now, I am the joy set before Jesus. Go ahead, say that. I am the joy set before Jesus. You are the joy of his heart. And then it makes another quick change here, and it says this. In verse 3, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now here's where it switches. It switches that I was the joy, you were the joy set before him for your salvation, but now in my struggles in life, he is the joy set before me. It is him that I look to for my strength when I get weary. It is Jesus who I look to bring in a newness life. Because the last reason why people quit is this. You do not recognize how close victory is. You do not recognize how close victory is. Now, I will tell you, when I wrestled in high school, I was all right. Even though I have a plaque that was printed wrong and said I was regional champion, that's what my kids believe. Okay? So, hey, I'll use it. Don't mess with me. I was regional champion. Bang! All right, here we go. But I remember one of my first varsity matches ever. I wrestled one, and I got beaten. And I remember in the match that I was winning. And as I was winning the match, it was like a 4-2 or a 4-5-3, something like that. And the person was strong, and he was on top of me, and he had me down and had my face down in the mat. You really want to get a humbling experience? Have your face rubbed in a mat, right? You hear? And there's like a minute left, and there's this part of me that just wanted to say, forget this. It ain't gonna matter. Why am I struggling? This person's stronger. He's going to get me, and he was getting ready to roll me over. And if he had, it would have been tighter. He would have taken a lead, and he might have pinned me. And I remember as I was rolling over, because you see a lot when you're on the floor and you're rolled over, and you're like, and you're like this. And I remember a couple things. I remember looking in the crowd and seeing people, come on, Jack, hold on, Jack, hold on, Jack, go, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. And I remember people on my team yelling, come on, Jack, hold on, you got 30 seconds left, you got all the, I'm like, ah, you know, your face is all pushed, and there's still, you're fighting behind that. But when I saw them and I heard them, it did something for me, right? It had me reach down into a place I didn't know I had and hold on. And act like I was moving, trying to get out of my face, being pushed across the mat. But I'm holding on, and I'm moving in a direction, and I'm gone, and I'm gone. And he's like, come on, 10 more seconds, go. And the guy's trying to roll me over, and I'm like, eh, you know, rolling here and trying to sit out and all this kind of stuff. And then finally, rah, the air horn goes off. And I won my first varsity match.
Amen.
Mm. See, I told you she liked the singlet. I just don't, you know. But it was at that moment I realized that with my face on the mat that seemed like I was going to lose, that I was going to be done with, and I was never going to win a match. It was at that point that I realized how close victory was, with the witnesses around me saying, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Come on up, praise team. Come on up and give us what God wants to do. Come on, Wayne, you guys can come up. Hey, hold on. That in our lives, as we're going through life, there's stuff we want to stop at and quit and stop, and we want to put on this frustration. We may be tired of church and God, and that we've trusted him and he left us and we had this emotion at one point, and now we're going to be emotionless and hate everything. Hold on to God. Hold on to Jesus. Not on to the weights. Keep on going. Jim Valvano, when he was dying of cancer, he was a basketball coach for NC State. He was dying of cancer. He stood up and gave one of the most empowering speeches. And in that speech, he said this: don't give up. Don't ever give up. He said, cancer may take my body, but it can't take the heart and my mind. Can't take who I am. Satan wants to take you down, but it can't, as long as you keep on and look to the author and perfecter of your faith. His name is Jesus. Amen? Amen? Let's stand up and let's worship the Lord today. As we continue in this pattern, I want you to just celebrate the Lord Jesus. It's a Super Sunday, but we have the greatest Super Sunday. It's called the very first Resurrection Day, where Jesus rose in power and might from the grave. He said, I'm alive forevermore. And from that day, it changed all of history. It's greater than Journey. It's greater than Don't Stop Believing, because I don't have to stop believing that I have a Savior who loves me, who encourages me, that when my face is on the mat of life, if I hold on and surround myself with that great cloud of witnesses, I recognize that I'm going to make it through, and God's going to bring me to the place, because he is the author and perfecter of my life and my faith. Amen. So today, as I'm going to ask our Stephen ministers and our prayer warriors to come up forward, just come before the Lord. Use this time as the lights go down. Use this time to just get still with the Lord Jesus. If you feel like praying with somebody next to you, do it. But let him move in your life. The song that's going to be sung is one of my favorite songs in the last several years. A song called Redeemed. That you may feel like your life is nothing. You may be frustrated to the end. You may have just lost sight of everything. But guess what? Through Christ Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, you are his joy. And don't call anything that is God's joy junk. He is the author and perfecter of your faith, and you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. Amen. Redeemed. I am redeemed. All How that fit perfect. Huh? Funny how that fit perfect. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we're just amazed up here how God just takes what we want to seek and do and just takes it in a direction. That song couldn't have been a more perfect song. And it was what our adding that God moved and put in there. Those words, hey, shake off those heavy chains. Shake off those weights. Wipe away every stain because I'm not who I used to be. His name is Jesus. Let's keep him the focus of the author and perfecter of our faith. This week, as you're going through, remember, God's not done with you yet. Amen. And he's still writing a book. And he is the author and the perfecter of your faith. Have an awesome week. Next week, our message next week, and there's only a couple people who understand what this means. You'll have to come and find out. But our message next week is called Getting Mr. Bobby. And so you guys will enjoy this. I will challenge you. I'm going to talk a little bit about my childhood. So come on back. We're going to have a great message next week, a great time. Say hi to somebody. Have a great week in Jesus. Go Seahawks or Patriots, whoever you care about.